been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson of Southport Capital. Well, we've got a kind of a rough open to the market today, but we hit new all-time highs yesterday. So we can't complain too much. The Dow's down 153 right now. That puts it back down below 35,000 as it continues to struggle with that 35,000 area. Right now it's at 34,993, just 4 points away, 7 points away from that 35,000 mark. Meanwhile, the NASDAQ getting roughed up too today, down 128 right now. It hit a new high yesterday. I don't want to hear any complaints. The NASDAQ down 127 right now to 14,713. And the S&P 500, fresh off of brand new all-time high yesterday, it's down 19 today at 4,403. The Russell 2000 small caps getting hit hard today, down 1.3%. The Russell 2K is at 2,188. Crude oil down a little bit, 6 cents, 71.85. Gold up a couple of bucks, but gold can't move too far from that 1800 area, it seems like. Silver's down 21 cents to 25.10. The 10-year yield, well, there's a little rally in the bond market today. It looks like maybe a little bit of fear of a slowdown in the economy today. Is the ticket 1.24% on the 10-year. And good old Bitcoin, which had a huge day yesterday, down 479 today to 37,984. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And, of course, we are off of fresh all-time highs in the market yesterday in the Dow, NASDAQ, S&P 500. Bitcoin had a huge rally yesterday. It closed at 38,400. You know, just several days ago, it dipped below 30,000 for the first time. And then along came Cathie Wood, Elon Musk, and others doing a conference on the B word, Bitcoin. That seemed to be a big catalyst for Bitcoin. And the shorts that were hiding with their short positions had to run for cover. That has driven the digital currency back up to 37,000 now. So pretty big rally in Bitcoin, about a 20% rally off that recent low. The forward PE of the S&P moves up to 22.87 yesterday. We've been as high as 23 recently. 22.87 compares to a 10-year average of about 16 to 17 in that area. And, of course, the Fed keeping interest rates low, the easy monetary policy, the stimulus, blah, 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 has all helped the S&P maintain these lofty valuation levels. Yesterday was all about the crypto stocks, for one, which have been pummeled here recently. Riot Blockchain, Marathon Digital, Bit Digital, Bit Farms, anything with the word bit in it, I suppose. Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, Osprey Bitcoin Trust, etc. All having a good day yesterday, kind of leading the market. And then those periphery stocks like MicroStrategy, even Tesla trades a little bit with Bitcoin these days. Not a little bit, quite a bit. A lot of bits. It's a day full of bits. Square also trades with Bitcoin. Coinbase, Galaxy Digital Holdings, Silvergate Capital, which is a bank built on Bitcoin, or that takes Bitcoin deposits, etc. That was the leadership in the market yesterday, so I wouldn't call it quality leadership. The other area, though, that was surprising yesterday, copper. Big move by copper and the copper stocks and a lot of the basic material stocks, including the oil and gas stocks. Now, they've been under some pressure here recently. They're kind of grouped in with that reflation trade. And they had a very good day yesterday. A lot of the basic material stocks like Continental Resources, Freeport-McMoRan, Goodrich Petroleum, BHP, Vail, stocks like that did well yesterday. And there was a little bit of activity in the industrials yesterday. The reflation names like Caterpillar and ABB over in Europe. The area that continues to get clobbered, and I mean clobbered, China. Okay, that's a big worry, and I'll tell you why. China is cracking down on big tech and other areas of their economy. They're obviously muscling in and taking control of their economy and kind of going after capitalism. China was kind of a hybrid. Communist, capitalist, a mixture. And it seems like the communist in China is coming to the fore right now, and it's just crushing the Chinese stocks, which we'll talk about here in a minute. It's regulations, okay, cracking down, putting heavy regulations on these companies. And, of course, there's a lot of talk about this in the U.S., cracking down on the Amazons, the Facebooks, the Googles, the Apples, et cetera, these dominant companies. So it's something we have to watch. Copper surges to a six-week high as China floods hit supply. Okay, you never know what's going to move the basic material stocks and the copper stocks or the lithium stocks or the silver stocks or the iron ore stocks? Chinese floods. Flooding in China, in central China, especially in the Zhangzhou industrial and transport hub city, are raising supply concerns and demand for rebuilding damaged infrastructure by these floods. Another little pattern I've noticed recently, the economic reports coming in on the U.S. economy have been soft recently. New home sales yesterday unexpectedly fell in June as inventory increases. Now, interest rates remain very, very low, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know what drove that. The new home sales, affordability could be an issue. And you might say, well, you know what, you can't really look at that as an indicator of the U.S. economy. But then today we get durable goods orders that rise less than expected in June, and unfilled orders increase. In fact, it was a pretty big miss to the durable goods orders. And I would say that that's playing into the sell-off in the market today. You know, every once in a while, like we saw a week ago when the Dow was down 725 points, you get this theory going through some of the market and some of the analyst community that maybe the U.S. economy has topped out. The sugar high from a reopening maybe has reached its peak, and maybe it's all downhill from here. Well, I mean, the Fed certainly seems to be worried about the economy. They're in no hurry to raise interest rates, and they're in no hurry to taper their buying and expanding their balance sheet as they realize that the economy continues to be fragile. Is the Delta variant playing into it? I'm seeing some of the tougher states, California for one, requiring vaccinations for all state workers. New York City is requiring proof of vaccination for all state workers and to get tested once a week. So maybe a little bit of this COVID variant again, which seems to come along, this fear that the economy is going to shut down again. That is all kind of weighing into the little bit of negative sentiment that is going through the market yesterday. But let's not forget, new all-time highs yesterday. Now, what it's going to come back to is earnings. And tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, are going to be very important. There's only a few, I would say big names that reported yesterday, but today and tomorrow, in fact, today is Apple. When we come back, we'll talk about the biggest name that reported yesterday, Tesla, and how the market is reacting. Tesla reported $1 billion in earnings, which is 10 times greater than this same time last year. But you can tell whether the market liked it or not by looking at the stock, which we'll do when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Okay, let's look at Tesla. That was the big earnings story after the close of the market yesterday. Tesla beat by 47 cents, and Tesla beat on revenue. Their automotive gross margin came in at 28.4. And the consensus was 26.06. Okay, well, you would expect the stock to rally on that news, but that's not the case here. Tesla is down $18 per share. Tesla is down 2.8% today. Now, I currently don't own Tesla, and I'll tell you why. I have had a little interest recently. I do like this subscription model that they're kind of, they're trying to build. You know, you can subscribe to the driver assist, the autonomous driving, for a couple hundred dollars a month. And there was one big analyst recently that said that, Tesla's subscription business someday could be worth more than the hardware business. The hardware in this case, obviously, are the cars. But here's the issue with Tesla right now. I use my beststocksnowapp.com, okay? And that guides me. I can eliminate a stock in seconds. I can say, hey, you know, this looks really interesting. I pretty much focus. I currently have 5,816 different stocks, ETFs, mutual funds in my database. And it's usually about the top 300 that I'm interested in. The beauty of that is I can eliminate 5,500, you know, that are just mediocre. I don't want mediocre. I try to avoid mediocre. Now, some of the stocks I buy, they seem like they're mediocre for a while. I try to be patient. But when I buy them, I feel like they're the best stocks in the market now, given whatever my portfolio is, whether it's large cap, small cap, emerging growth, or dividend stocks. I do everything I can do to put the very best onto those rosters in those portfolios. Okay, Tesla, TSLA, currently ranked number 781 out of 5,816. Tesla is currently a $623 billion company. $623 billion company. By contrast, General Motors is an $80 billion company. So Tesla, by market cap, is eight times the size, market capitalization, of GM. So you can see the multiple, the premier multiple that Tesla gets over GM. Tesla's annual sales right now, 18, 28, 39 billion dollars in annual sales. What does GM have? GM has 51, 98, 120. $1 billion in annual sales. So you can see that the price-to-sales ratio on Tesla is astronomical. In fact, it's 17.6 right now. Tesla is currently trading at 663 times earnings, and it, on its forward earnings estimates of $6 or $7, $6.17, it's trading at 106 times forward earnings. Okay, we just talked about the forward PE of the S&P 500, which is at about 23 right now. Okay, Tesla is four times, almost five times that, the forward PE of the market at 106 times forward earnings. Well, you say, well, okay, Tesla's got a phenomenal growth rate. Well, they're expected to grow their earnings by about 37% per year over the next 5 years. And if you divide that forward PE of 106 divided by 37, you get a PEG ratio of 2.84. You know, a growth at a reasonable price investor likes to see PEG ratios around 1, a little under 1, a little over 1. 2.84 is a very generous PEG ratio that you're paying for Tesla right now. So, you know, the valuation's a problem. The growth doesn't seem to be a problem, but what you're paying for that growth right now seems to be a little bit out of whack. Now, another big factor for me, you know, not only does the ranking and the valuation not meet my criteria, the relative strength is really not very good in Tesla. In fact, the chart has been in a downtrend. You can connect those tops. Tesla topped out at $900 in late January, and now it's at $640. And if you connect the tops over the last, it's had three little upturns, but each one, the top has been lower than the previous one. The stock is in a long-term downtrend. In the short term, it's in a sideways trend. But a big negative for me, Tesla has recently had a death cross, where the 50-day moving average has dropped below and crossed below the 200-day moving average. You know, generally speaking, that's not a very good technical pattern or stock chart. So for me, you know, as much as I like everything that surrounds Tesla and the all of the fervor around it and Elon Musk and the tweets every day and the hype every day and the press releases and everything else, I have to look through that and I have to look at the numbers, which comes down to my ranking, my overall ranking of the stock, which for me is a must. You've got to be ranked in that top 300 or 400 for me. You've got to be B-plus rank or better. Tesla is currently ranked B. I rank it as a strong hold right now. Okay, if you own it, you don't need to sell it. But to go diving into it at this point in time, it's ranked number 781. It's got extremely high multiples. And I personally don't like the chart of Tesla right now. But I'll watch it. I would look at it every single day. I would like to see maybe an entry point into the stock at some point, maybe in the 550 area. That's where the next support level really is. And it's currently trading at 640. So for me, Tesla is a pass. I'll pass on it right now. You know, the big another big story in the market right now, I mentioned this at the opening, and I want to talk a little bit about this into the close of this quarter and when we come back. China eating its own. I mean, China went after the tutoring stocks yesterday, okay? There's several of these stocks. There's a TAL, and there's New Oriental, EDU, and there's GOTU. These are big stocks, billion-dollar stocks. China school tutoring stocks plunged again today for the second day in a row, after the country and the companies confirmed that the for-profit tutoring would be banned. Okay, you can't profit from tutoring. Now, I don't know who came up with that idea or why. Did somebody run afoul of the CCP? Well, these tutoring stocks are getting clobbered, and that's not all. wait till you hear what's going on with big tech. And is that tough regulation situation coming to America someday? More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Show. And welcome back to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. One other little piece to that Bitcoin story and the big move up yesterday. Also involved in that move up was a rumor that Amazon would accept Bitcoin in the future, in the near future. Well, today Amazon is denying that rumor. No truth to that rumor, and that's part of the sell-off today in Bitcoin. So you got to watch those rumors. You got to always check. Yesterday I said I'll try to check the source of this. I couldn't really find the source. It was not coming from Jeff Bezos and Amazon. It was coming from outside sources, and today it's proving to be not true. Amazon is denying the rumor. And that is hurting the stock here, or the digital currency here today. Okay, back to China. Alibaba shares fall 7% amid Chinese government pressures. Well, okay. You know, it's the whole debate over regulations. And, you know, you've got those that want heavy regulations on businesses. You've got those that want lighter regulations on businesses. You've got those that want to deregulate businesses. But it's obvious that this crackdown on China, on these Chinese stocks, the crackdown going on in China, is much, much more than just trying to regulate them. There's definitely an ulterior motive here. And it's just crushing. It's just crushing the Alibabas and the JD.coms and the Pinduo and Data, et cetera. These stocks, Tencent Holdings is just getting crushed. These stocks were good stocks. Last year and over the last several years, there's been some big, big profits made in China. And now with these heavy, heavy regulations coming down, just look at the ETF, FXI. FXI would kind of be equivalent to SPY, which is the S&P 500 here in the U.S. FXI is getting crushed. On the other hand, FXP is the inverse of FXI. It is bounding higher as China goes lower. And there's been some big, big hits. SoftBank. You know, this all kind of started, really, if you trace it, it goes back to Jack Ma and Alibaba and Ant Group and all this and that. Somehow Jack Ma ran afoul, said some things that the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, did not like, and they came down hard on Jack Ma. He disappeared for a while. The Ant IPO was called off. But recently, this whole thing reignited with the going public of China's version of Uber with Didi, D-I-D-I. D-I-D-I is a ride-hail company. Its value has now dropped from $12 billion to $7.8 billion since going public. And there's some big, big investment funds that were heavily invested in this Didi. SoftBank, for one. SoftBank's Vision Fund had a 20% stake in this ride-hail company, and they've lost, their stake has dropped from $11.8 billion to $7.8 billion. The Vision Fund also backed Full Truck Alliance, a stock that also swiftly pulled back amid heightened scrutiny from China regulators. Well, you know, look, regulators can be used as weapons. It's pretty obvious. That's what China is doing. China is using these regulators, and that's in the name of privacy and in the name of monopoly and in the name of this, and it's crushing these companies. And SoftBank, if you look at SoftBank, S-F-T-B-Y, wow, it's getting crushed. Now, SoftBank is a Chinese company, a Japanese company. Chinese tech companies make up about a quarter of the Vision Fund's portfolio, leaving the fund, SoftBank, S-F-T-B-Y, vulnerable to this regulatory crackdown. So it's trouble. And here's another big word. Well, let's take to the next step. The institutions are fleeing Chinese stocks. Kathy Woods had a big investment in Tencent Holdings and a few other Chinese stocks. She started pulling the plug a few weeks ago. She's taken some heavy losses there in her Chinese holdings. We don't have any exposure. I got out of the Chinese stocks quite a while ago. You can look in my newsletter. Probably back in February and March, I cashed in what Chinese stocks I had. We made some big profits there. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. John Chambers, former CEO of Cisco, says, I'm not investing in China, and startups should stay out of there. Well, you know, this marks a really major kind of glacial shift or tidal shift from China being very kind of business friendly and capitalistic to kind of going back to their old ways here. Now, here's the next shoe that you got to, you know, hope doesn't drop. Economist Paul Romer, who is a Nobel Prize-winning economist and a former chief economist at the World Bank, said Monday that he expects the U.S. Congress to pass laws to rein in big tech, and he sees a close parallel with China. Okay, well, that's a warning shot across the bow for sure. If you own Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, Twitter, Apple, Microsoft, etc. Now, this is just one guy out there saying this. What would be the anecdote? What would be the vaccine against this? SPY would obviously be in the crosshairs, but even more so, QQQ would come into the crosshairs, the NASDAQ, where most of these big tech stocks dominate. The anecdote would be PSQ, all right? I'm not saying to run out and buy that, but we want to watch this regulatory environment. Is China setting a pattern for what's about to happen worldwide against these big tech stocks? I don't know. I'm just telling you that there's a Nobel Prize-winning economist, Paul Romer, speaking to Bloomberg, said he sees a close parallel that exists between U.S. and China in their need to control large tech companies, which are becoming ungovernable and beyond the rule of law. Well, okay. I just thought I would mention that. Of course, the anecdote for the Chinese sell-off is FXP. That's the inverse. These inverse funds are out there. They're available. They can be used at times. The anecdote, obviously, to SPY, or QQQ, is PSQ. And the anecdote to SPY, if this should ever happen, would be SH. Okay, so we're going to watch this regulatory environment. You know, and you've also got Europe that's constantly hitting these big tech companies for fine, a fine here, a fine there, etc. The cryptocurrency exchanges reining in the maximum leverage. Do you know that you can leverage Bitcoin 20 to 1? Oh, yeah, if Bitcoin goes up, you can make a lot of money at 20 to 1 leverage, but it works both ways. Norwegian Cruise Line's first ship ready to sail since the COVID-19 pandemic. Hallelujah. If you're just dying to go on a cruise, the voyage is set to sail from Athens, Greece. with a fully vaccinated population on board and sail-safe health and safety protocols in place. They call it the Great Cruise Comeback. Well, we hope so. The first cruise to commence in the U.S. is scheduled on August 7th, 2021. That's coming up. Book your berth now aboard Norwegian Encore sailing to Alaska from Seattle. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about a cybersecurity stock, a new electric vehicle player that says they're in an enviable position compared to Tesla several years ago. And we'll also try to find our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I wanted to mention cybersecurity. The cybersecurity stocks continue to do well. Hacking and ransoms and holding data hostage and stealing private information. It's not going to end anytime soon, and companies have to spend an enormous amount of money protecting the best that they can. And even then, it seems like these hackers can get through some of the most secure sites if they want to. Well, CrowdStrike has become kind of the dominant company in the industry at $58 billion. But there's a company that went public here recently. It's about one-fifth the size of CrowdStrike, but it is a competitor to CrowdStrike. SentinelOne, I've mentioned it before. The symbol is S. Well, the reason I mention it today is the quiet period is over. Okay, so analysts cannot talk about a stock or put out research reports for a certain amount of time after a company goes public. This company just went public about 4 weeks ago. Now that quiet period has ended, and Bank of America initiates SentinelOne with a buy rating, with noting that the impressive 100% year-over-year revenue growth in calendar year 2020. Morgan Stanley rates it as an overweight, and one other company, Piper Sandler, rates it as a neutral. I have a small position in it in my emerging growth portfolio. Emerging growth portfolio. That's the most aggressive. Looking for young companies like this that have big upside potential. From my perspective, S is the symbol. That's the old symbol of Sears. You're not kidding Sears anymore. SentinelOne is the stock. And that's one I wanted to mention. The other one I wanted to mention here was Lucid. You know, it was in a SPAC. It was in CCIV. And now it's become its own symbol, LCID. Lucid CEO Peter Rawlinson says, "We're in an enviable position compared to Elon Musk Tesla, because of the size of its SPAC deal." In other words, he's saying that we've got a lot more money to work with or to lose, you know, either way, than Musk had when he started out. But, yeah, we'll keep our eye on it. You know, it's an expensive stock to Lucid Motors. They have a pretty sexy car lineup that they're going to roll out. There's going to be a lot of competition in that space, and Lucid's more than likely going to be a pretty big player. Lucid market cap right now, $6.6 billion without ever having sold a car. And the feature stock of the day, this is for all my listeners in Canada. We have a lot of listeners in Canada, eh? And I grew up, my best friend growing up was from Calgary. He lived in San Diego. We went to school together, and I learned to love hockey. We used to go to the hockey games in San Diego. Yes, we had hockey in San Diego. The ice didn't melt. It was indoors. We had minor league hockey, and then we had World Hockey League for a while, the San Diego Mariners. But the World Hockey League went bust. We never did get an NHL team in San Diego. The closest NHL team to me here in Charleston, hey, the Tampa Bay Lightning, World Stanley Cup champions, beating the Montreal Canadiens. There's a Canadian company, TFII, okay? It's a trucking logistics stock, and it keeps coming up, ranked very high in my app. It's currently number 53. It's out of Quebec, and the company recently bought all of UPS's trucking division. They acquired UPS Freight, which is the LTL and TL divisions of UPS. They bought it for $800 million in cash and debt. And this company continues to have very fast-growing earnings. The stock is breaking out to new all-time highs. I do not currently own it. It's a $10 billion company, formidable company, and with the economy opening back up, that's pretty big. Their quarter that just ended, they reported earnings growth of 153% year over year. They reported sales growth of 130% year over year. The momentum in the stock is very good, 95 relative strength. The valuation is decent, 38% growth rate with a 24 PE. That means it's trading at a discount to its growth rate. And it's currently ranked number 53 overall in my Best Stocks Now app, which finds little unknown stocks like this, TFII. Now, every day after the close of the market, about 5 o'clock, the app dials up and contacts the data providers and brings down the data from the day. It takes a while, and then it crunches all the numbers, and out comes back the rankings, the current rankings based on valuations, performance, and momentum. TFII number 53 overall, we'll make that our featured stock of the day. It's definitely on my watch list right now. Well, we're still looking at Minneapolis, boots on the ground, including myself, in late August. And then we're looking at Tuesday, September the 7th, for a worldwide webinar, worldwide webinar, live from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. And there will be more information coming on that. But I plan to maybe do a monthly seminar, live workshop, teaching, giving the current conditions of the market and whatnot, which you'll be able to sign up for, and then we'll send you the link to watch it live. So more information on that. We're looking at the first Tuesday of every month, and that would make that September the 7th. We wouldn't do it start in August, but September the 7th and every first Tuesday after that. So something else to look forward or to not look forward to, as the case may be. Well, if you'd like to talk to us at Gunderson Capital, you know, I tell people, I set aside time for one appointment a day via telephone. That keeps me in contact, you know, and my assistants do all the others. And it's a very tight schedule. I do it on a first-come, first-served basis. So if you'd like to have a telephone appointment with Gunderson sometime out in the future, You can call 855-611-BEST. Otherwise, you can meet with one of my assistants, 855-611-BEST. GundersonCapital.com to get that newsletter that I put out every week.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.